I just want to make clear, because we haven't done a good job of communicating that flap on the bulletin. If you just look at your bulletin for a second, you will see on one side is a prayer for prayer requests. Now, you see all the hands go up, or I do, in the auditorium, and yet on Wednesday night prayer, we don't have that many prayer requests from you. And so if you have a prayer request, fill that thing out, tear it off, put it in the box out there, or put it in the offering, or put it at the desk, lay it on the desk out there or something. We'll collect them all. And the prayer team prays on Wednesday, and they will pray for your request, okay? If you're brand new here, fill out the information, tear that tab off, okay? And is the tab perforated this week? I know we've been hectic. Oh, yeah, okay, good. Tear it off. You who are brand new, fill it out, and then I will send back a letter, and I'll give you some free coffee, crock coffee coupons, okay? Did anybody hear that? I hope. Yeah, okay. And so that you can come next time and have a mocha or a latte or whatever. And we don't use the information for anything but just contact information, but I do send that letter, so... Anywho, all right, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read 1 through 4. I want to read 18 and 21 because they belong to this passage. You read the yellow and I will read the white. There is an admonition here for children to be submissive. By submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. So with children, their being filled by the Spirit is to obey mom and dad. You realize that? And that's how God works in their hearts. But it really is an admonition to parents because it's really up to us, isn't it? As parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, and so on, because kids left to themselves typically don't go the right way. Have you discovered that yet? Okay, and so with a little help in parenting, it'll work. So let me just read 18 and 21. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Isn't that a neat promise? And Paul talks about it being a promise and all the way from the Old Testament. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Isn't that amazing that an obedient child can have long life? And we see that, don't we? When you look at the disobedient kids as a rule, they don't seem to live as long because they're dishonoring their father and mother. They're dishonoring people. They're serving themselves and they're not serving others. And they're going strictly against what God says. And I think ultimately it hurts them badly. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise. Okay. I love that because there's people talk about, oh, the Bible's full of promises. Well, it's not full of promises, but there's quite a few promises to us. And this is one that's a promise to your children and you. And even though it's a command to the children, it's the parents. And Paul's emphasis, especially on the father, to train them. Train them to submit in the fear of God until they have their own relationship with God where they submit to God. And I want to call your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, which says this. And I want you to think about this, especially you men and mothers and aunts and uncles and grandfathers and grandmothers, because we all participate in this. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So what God is talking about there with the children back in Israel, and there's this application that Paul's making, is we talk about God all the time with our kids. Why? Because they get 40 hours of non-talk in school, right? All the hours that they spend playing with their friends is not about God, or very seldom. And so I always have kind of a bone to pick with people that say, well, I want my child to make a decision on their own about religion. Well, think about this. They're brainwashed for 60 hours a week, and we get them for 5, 10 hours probably at the most. Who's going to win? Not us, if we don't take a positive approach to this. And so, obviously, God doesn't want us to be haphazard or hit and miss, but very intentional in our training with our children. And for good reason, because your world is training your children, and you have to train it back out of them, or they're going to become the world. And I'm sorry to say, there's going to be a certain percentage of you who, even when you do a good job, will lose your kids. But you'll lose them all if you don't, okay? Just want to be fair with that. Now, quite a few months back, we had a big mourning at church. We had a family dedication service, and the parents had one of the parents had dedicated their four-year-old boy that day. And as they pulled out of the church parking lot, they noticed that their son was kind of whimpering and crying in the back seat. And they asked him, well, what's wrong? And through tears, he said, well, Pastor Steve said that he wanted us to be raised in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys. Raising kids to love and respect. Yeah, that kind of hits home a little too deep, doesn't it, for all of us? Raising kids to love and respect God in an authentic household, which means you first have to live for God and live out those things and let your kids see that in your life. And that's a tall task for us this morning, isn't it, to think about? Through your parenting or grandparents, your grandparenting or uncle or aunting or whatever you want to call it, all of us that are participating in those kids, we have to model what they need to do. They have to see a living model. I remember when some friends of my family, an old man, he was really old, and he took me up to a cabin for one weekend, and I saw legitimate God-lover man with no emptiness in there. I came from a family where it was really cool to be a Christian on the outside. Well, inside, you know, kind of. And I'd never seen anybody live their life like him, and I only was with him 2 days, and it changed my life. 2 days. And it changed my life because he lived that. God delights in children. And by the way, I want to just say this. I cannot cover this subject from the pulpit. You understand that? I'm going to hit some highlights today, maybe come back next week and finish up and then move on. I really would suggest that you really think about the shepherding a child's heart. It's a whole program to think about, and they really kind of wake you up to good parenting, and I think you would enjoy it. Psalms 127:3 proclaims that children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a reward from him. I never thought about it being much of a reward in the early years, right? Diapers and trouble and that kind of thing. And yet I stand here now and I look at my kids and what a reward. God is absolutely right on that. In the Gospels, we read that people brought little children to Jesus. Here, listen to this in Matthew 19:13. So then little children were brought to him so that he might place hands on them and pray for them. Isn't that interesting? We always think about Jesus and the Pharisees, Jesus and the disciples, but he loved gathering these kids and putting his hands on and praying for them. So really, in the whole scope of this, the question comes to mind, is it possible to raise kids who will respect and obey? Or is it merely a pipe dream? You know, if you feel like it's real easy, then I would suggest that you visit a classroom sometime in a grade school. And you'll find out that there's minimal training by the parents, if any. No expectation. And so the kids are without respect and without obedience. And teachers by the droves are starting to leave teaching because it can be so hard. And we're surrounded in a society where the parents are avoiding that responsibility or seem to think it's not theirs. You hear the statement, let somebody else do it, I'm too busy. So let's talk about this. I want to talk about responsibility, teaching kids responsibility. Some people assume it's the church's job to teach kids to be responsible and to love God and so on. I've heard people say this. We take our kids to church so that they will learn to love God and serve God. Well, that's nice, but where are the parents? Or the youth leader will straighten them out, and if he or she doesn't, then they're just bad youth leaders. 1 hour a week. And some even go so far as to say, look, if we can't find the youth leader here we need, we'll switch churches and go somewhere else till we do. Because they're assuming that in 1 hour, a youth leader can completely transform their children into godly, obedient children when they have no luck at it. Then some parents assume it's going to happen in Christian school. Or the charter school. Wow, man, I'm telling you, the charter school, right? And it's their responsibilities. Or if they just get the right teacher. And there are some truths to those things. But sad to say, the schools ultimately attempt to take on the role because they have no choice, and yet they have to work under political correctness, which means they really can't do it. And finally, worst case scenario is when they reach maturity and the church has failed them and the schools have failed them, so they send them into the military to answer the discipline and structure and respect problem. And don't get me wrong, there are small gains in those things. We want our kids to go to church and learn in youth group or the kids ministry or whatever it might be. In the schools, put them in a good school or make sure they have good teachers, and maybe even the military. That's great for some people to help get those gains. But ultimately, it fails. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's plan B. It's plan B. It's not plan A, right? It's plan B. What's God's plan? That you, parent, raise your kids. It's your job, period. End of story. I mean, sure, we want these positive secondary influences to help reinforce and encourage and deepen that message, but if they aren't getting the message at home, they're not going to get it here, and they're not going to get it in a charter school, and they're not going to get it in the military, because it starts with you. So, Mom and Dad, you must have a stake in the present and future of your children. Grandparents, you have to have a stake in your grandkids to support your parents, those parents, your kids, in raising those children. and anyone else who's relative or friends. We had friends that grew up on the same block we did, and we traded children, and we both had a respect for each other, and we would discipline their children, they would discipline our children by permission. And boy, was that a great thing for our kids. Some of those kids are up here in the worship team. So it really was a help. So I want to go back to Ephesians 5:4 and just kind of take a little deeper look at this. It says, but bring them up. It means to nourish them in the training. And when it says training in the Greek, it means child instruction. Okay? The child instruction and admonition of the Lord, which means the discipline or correcting behavior or correcting beliefs of the Lord. You have a stronger emotional investment in your child that no one else can possibly have. So I say dive in and enjoy the journey called parenting. It's time-consuming, it's tiring, it's sacrificial, but it pays some incredible dividends. I love it when Bill Hybels said this, listen to this. Parents, I have to remind you, nannies, babysitters, relatives, daycare workers never will give an ultimate account to God for how they raised your children. You will. Number two, the next thing is a child's need for respect. Instilling respect in your children resides with you. Listen, fathers, I want to talk to you for a minute. Never, never, never let your children disrespect your wife. Don't ever let that happen. In my house, it was whatever the punishment was, it automatically doubled if it was against my girlfriend. And my sweetheart. You hear me, fathers? That's your wife. You won't be living with your kids all your life. You will be living with your wife all your life. Right? And so if my kids got out of hand, oh man, it was the end of the world as far as they were concerned. And to this day, they show my wife complete respect. I think it's very interesting. They learned that lesson early in life. And I'm just telling you, fathers, get with it. Don't let them do that. They're violating you because you're one flesh with your wife. Paul says this in Ephesians 6:1-3. No, that's not right, I don't think. Anyhow, children, obey your parents. No, oh, yeah, it is 6:1. Okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. They won't do it on their own. They are conniving little sinners, right? Isn't that the truth? Like you and me. Let me just give you a recommendation that will really help make your kids be an asset rather than a liability. Teach your kids to obey first time. Not second, not third, not fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. And I see that all the time. I just, you know, God expects us to obey first time, right? Shouldn't we expect our kids to obey first time? And it's a process that in the beginning will take a great deal of time and effort and even sacrifice of your leisure, but it's really worth it. If you haven't trained your kids to obey the first time, let me make a prediction of you. You are a parent most miserable, you feel out of control, and you feel like your child is unusually strong-willed. And if your children can learn to obey their earthly parents, it becomes an easier transition to obey your heavenly Father first time. Let me give you an example of why this can be. There was one time when it really sunk with Debbie and I. We had a cat as a pet that we just didn't like. It was Not a good cat. I mean, you know, before I got married, I had cats. I loved cats, you know. I loved trying to herd them, you know. At one point, when our kids were small, the cat just bounded out of the house and headed across the street. And so one of my sons was chasing that cat, and he was determined he was going to get that cat. And Debbie and I both said, "Stop!" And he stopped. And a city bus went by. I mean, fast. And we told him not to take that first step, and he obeyed first time. He didn't see the bus, neither did the cat. Now, that obedience saved his life. That was a point in which we thought, wow, I am glad we started to do the, or started, we kind of did it from the beginning. You don't say it a second time. You go into discipline the second time. And evidently, Solomon realized it too. He wrote this in Proverbs 19:18. "Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to what? Their death." The moment of obedience was not a fluke. It didn't happen automatically and won't happen automatically. It was a result of training and disciplining, and it had plenty, we had plenty of non-threatening situations where we really had to work through, and we made mistakes, like you will make mistakes in the process. But we had high expectations of obedience, and we trained him to respond, and when it counted, he passed the test. You know, I think back, this is, you know how you have those little moments in your life? I had the kids with me, and Debbie, I can't remember what Debbie was doing, but I had all the kids with me, and we went to King Soopers, and we were walking through King Soopers, and as we went down an aisle, there was a lady there that was holding on to her child, and he was screaming bloody murder. He was hanging around, looked just like this. I mean, you've seen that, haven't you? And she's holding on to him and saying, "Come on, get up," and that kind of thing. And he's fighting her. And I'm walking through, and the kids are single file right behind me. We're walking along the aisle. And as I pass her, she says to me, "Man, you are so lucky to have kids like that." And I said, "Ma'am, do you think this is luck?" I said, "It's hard work and discipline." And I smiled at her, and she pretended she didn't hear me. But it is, isn't it? Reinforcement, number three. Reinforcing after you lay down certain... We didn't have all the tremendous amount of rules, but the ones we did have, we reinforced. And I'm not trying to say that I was the number one dad. I get to feel like I'm bragging. I'm not. I'm just saying we looked at what we thought the Word of God was saying. I had good, my Debbie's parents were really good at it, especially her dad. And I learned from somebody who really did well, and we copied that. And, you know, I look at reinforcement. Repetition and consistency always pays off. Not at first, right? You get discouraged right at first. But then through repetition and consistency, the kids go, "Okay, I guess you're going to keep doing this." And then they begin to fall in line. "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth." Luke 2:52 says this, "Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Jesus had to grow up and learn. We'll even look at a passage a little bit later that says that through his sufferings, he learned obedience. Jesus was going through his stages of growth, intellectually and physically and spiritually and socially. And it's a process that is awkward at times. You know, how many of you can remember, or maybe you're facing that now, where you go to a reception or a banquet or something like that, and the food's on the table, especially when we have a wedding or funeral here, and the food's on the table, and your kids go up, and they'll pick up the grapes and inspect them, and then they'll cook up, pick up cookies or whatever and look at them, and they'll put them back if they don't like them. Have your kids ever done that? Yeah, pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah. But you know, if it's left unchecked and you don't train them, they'll do the same thing at 19 years old. You have to gently take them aside and instill in them that you don't keep touching the cookies, you don't keep looking at the grapes, you take what you pick, and put, or whatever the situation is. Do you hear me this morning? I'm just not talking about that. You have to continually reinforce and train them. If the worship team will come up, we're going to have the Lord's Supper today. We have juice and bread on both sides, four tables, and when we go to the music, you can just go to the table and pick it up and come back. Listen, God is the creator, and we are the creation, amen? Amen. And he has the right to call the shots, amen? Amen? And so do we as parents. He expects that of us. And it takes a while to teach, but it beats years and years of repeated requests and manipulative attempts by your children to get their way and have a selfish outlook in life. Consistency in discipline will remove the guesswork from parenting and reduce the drama in your home. You won't have to pull a screaming child through King Soopers. So is it possible to raise children who respect and obey? Yes. Once you've taken the time to establish the expectations and discipline with love and continue with consistency, especially men, you will find it quite liberating and easy. So let me paint this picture for you. Do what God says. Do the parenting. Don't leave it to the school. Don't leave it to the church. Don't leave it to the military. Do it yourself. That's what God expects. Amen? Let's pray.